Since I was 16 years old, not necessarily in the ministry, but speaking in public. Right now, the old saying is, I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a house full of rockers. I really worry about what I say, because it's so important that we have the truth that is in Jesus Christ our Lord, and nothing else. We need nothing else. What I hold before you this morning, or this afternoon, or tonight, or whatever the time is, told you I was nervous. What I hold before you is a hymn book, but it's spelt H-I-M. It's all about Him. From Genesis to Revelations. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. So I believe it doesn't matter where you go in the Bible, you need to talk about Jesus. No matter, one minister one time said, it says, no matter where you start, you need to end with Christ. So I hope tonight, what little time I'm before you, and I'll try to be mindful because Brother Lawrence is to follow me, and I certainly want to hear him as well as I know you do too. But I'm one that doesn't think that it matters who the preacher is. What matters is whether the gospel is preached. Amen. And that comes from God. So if I preach tonight, it's not me, it's Him. Amen. So I want you to give credit and glory and honor to God. Now, as I grew up in the hills of West Virginia, I had a wonderful pastor, Elder Kenneth Cato. His children are here today. And other ministers that were around me, who were wonderful ministers. But I have to say this, that I think they failed us in one aspect, and that was teaching a lot of duty. They taught a lot about grace and all these things, and I often said this, I was almost 13 years old before I knew we was even supposed to talk about God. Because if the Lord wants somebody in the church, I've heard this all my life, He wants them in the church, the Lord calls every day, daily, those that should be saved. Well, that's true. God calls you into the church triumphant. Amen. But it's not the natural church here. Amen. We need to let people know where this church is at. Amen. There's a scripture that says, be ready to give a reason for your faith, for the hope that lieth within you. Now, that hope is Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. So tonight, what I had a little bit of time on before you, I'd like to ask you, how do you present Jesus when you talk about Him? Does the Bible tell us how to do that? I believe it does. We're going to turn to the book of Leviticus. These sacrifices that were made back in the olden time were all pointing to Christ. There was a reason for them. Some of them in our own mind and eyes, we might think, boy, that was hard, or that was really terrible to have to do that. But it was pointing to Christ. So if you have your Bibles, you turn to the second chapter of Leviticus. I only want to read a few verses. Beginning at the 11th verse, it says, no meat offering shall you bring unto the Lord, shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of the meat offering thou shalt season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer thy salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Now he says we're not to do it with leaven, and we're not to do it with honey, but we are to do it with salt. So the first thing we need to do is, when we study God's word, is what is leaven? Well, you ladies all know that leaven is yeast. And what does yeast do but make the bread or whatever you put it in to puff up and to rise? So the first thing, when I present Jesus to somebody out there in the world, whether they're a child of God or not, I don't know. So I'm not going to stand back and say, well, I got to see some evidence first. I'm going to talk about Jesus first. And how am I going to present him? Not puffed up.
Amen.
I don't need to tell him how good I am. I need to tell him how good he is.
Amen.
So I don't need to present him puffed up. But leaven goes much more than that. If you go over to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter, I believe it is, the Lord tells his disciples right after he fed a multitude, when he got into the boat, he told him, he said, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, they thought he meant bread. I mean, this is how we think sometimes. He just fed 5,000. Why would he need somebody to bake bread for him? But he said, no, be wary of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then in the book of Mark, he tells us to be wary of the leaven of Herod. So when I present Jesus, I'm not to present him with leaven. So I'm not to present him with the leaven of the Pharisees. What was the Pharisees? Well, in about 537 B.C., I believe it was, is when the Pharisees first started. And like a lot of things in the world today, they started for a good reason. Because Babylon had taken Israel into captivity, and God's word was being abolished. It was being just took away. So the Pharisees decided that we're going to study God's word, we're going to hold on to God's word, and we're going to do it our way. Now, see, that's what happens a lot of times. People say that we're dead against Sunday school. I'm not against Sunday school. We have Sunday school every Sunday at Liberty Primitive Baptist Church. We just don't have it the world's way. We have it God's way. You come to church to learn. So you come to church to learn something. Now, the Pharisees, they got to the point where they were so puffed up that they would stand on a street corner and pray for hours just to get somebody to brag about it. Not talk about the Lord, but talk about how good they were. So when I start to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody, the first thing I'm to do is not present it with legalism. And that's what the Pharisees were. Everything was legalism. Paul said one time, you put a burden on other people's neck, the forefathers wasn't even able to bear. We're not able to bear some of the things that was back then. So when I start talking about somebody, I don't need to tell them, well, if you get good enough, you can come to church. Well, if you get good enough or pray often enough, maybe the Lord will save you. I need to tell them about Romans, that the Lord hath saved you and called you with an everlasting calling. I need to tell them about the fact that he saved you even when you were in sin. God loved you. I need to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, of how glorious that gospel is and how free grace is, not what I've got to do to receive it. So that's legalism. And I'm going to speed up a little bit more usually than what it would take. So we're going to jump right on down now to the Sadducees. Well, what's Sadducees? I believe the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in angels. They basically didn't believe in much of nothing except themselves. They were liberals. That's what they are today. Now, you don't think that's so? Jesus gave you a perfect definition of liberals. Whenever they come and asked him one time, Lord, there's a man here that had a wife, and he died. His brother took it, and he died. His brother took it, and he died. Up to seven brothers. Now, in heaven, whose wife's he going to be? Jesus gave you the perfect definition of a liberal. He says, ye do err not knowing the scriptures.
Amen.
That's it right there.
Amen.
You err not knowing the scriptures. That's the perfect definition of liberals.
Yes.
And that's what we see out here in the world today in liberalism, that they try to say, well, it don't matter about nothing. It don't matter where you go to church. It don't matter which church you go to. It don't matter what religion you are. That Muslim religion is just as good as our religion. I'm going to tell you, it's not.
Amen.
It's not.
Right.
Now, I didn't say Muslims weren't, because I believe God has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue.
Amen.
But there's only one way of salvation, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord.
Amen.
There's no other name given among men or by men except the name of Jesus. And you can't tell me Mohammed's in here anywhere.
Amen.
We sang a song that says we worship a risen Savior. You know, this religion, Christian religion, is the only religion that does worship a risen Savior. I have diabetes and I get very thirsty sometimes. But when I think about how glorious God has been to me, then to you. Brother Bond and I was talking this. We was coming down about how sometimes we feel so disheartened and low down and feel like, it, you know, well, why is all this happening to me? And he told me something the preacher told him one time. I'm going to pass it on to you. When you get to the point that you suffered more than Jesus suffered, then you have a right to ask the question why. But until you get to that point, you don't have the right to ask that, because he went beyond what we go on. So I'm not supposed to present Jesus by legalism, that you got to meet any condition. I'm not supposed to present Jesus by telling you that if you'll just follow him, everything will be roses, because it's not going to be. You're going to be persecuted more today than you've ever been persecuted in your life. I never thought I'd live to see the day that Christians' heads would be cut off. But it's here. I never thought I'd see the day that whenever we have a president that don't even have prayer in the day of prayer anymore. But we've got it. So we're not to present Jesus with legalism. We're not to present him with liberalism. But what's Herod? Herod was a political king. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's your obligation and it's your duty to vote. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You vote for your conscience and you pray that God will instruct you to vote for godly men. I don't care whether they're Democrats or Republicans, independents, what they are, if they're godly men. So I don't think I'm supposed to be up here today campaigning. That's one thing of Herod. But there's something else of Herod too. Herod was a worldly king. He liked stuff in the world. I don't want our churches having baseball games and bowling alleys and everything else to get people to come into this church. We don't need the world in the church. We've got too much of it now. We've got too much world in it now. And you say, well, I don't see any. Look in the mirror. That's all you got to do. We're all worldly to an extent. Satan has a seat in the church, whether you know it or not. I just try not to let it be my seat. But anyway, enough of that. Let's go on and think about it now. Now, we're not going to have legalism. We're not going to have liberalism, or worldlyism. And then he says, no honey. Well, why wouldn't he want me to present him with honey? He didn't sugarcoat it when he went to the cross. I don't need to sugarcoat it whenever I'm presenting him to people. I don't need to present him as that little babe in the manger. And that's what the world sees. All they see of our Jesus is the little babe in the manger. But I want to present him as the one that was suspended between heaven and earth, looking into the heavens and saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want to present him as one that says, it is finished. And then I want to present him as one that has risen from the tomb as we sang that song and is sitting in heaven making intercession for you and I as a risen Savior. I don't need to honeycoat that. I don't need to make it. You know, I'll tell you something about Billy Graham one time. And I don't know if you like Billy Graham or not. It don't really matter. I thought he was a great orator. I thought he was way off on the scriptures a lot of times. But he was told when he was young, he said, now, you speak well, and you'll really go places if you'll leave that blood alone. Now, this is what was told to Billy Graham. And Billy Graham thought, I'm going to preach it more and more every day. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to sugarcoat it and make it with honey and all. We need to preach that it took the blood of Christ to save you. It was a cost that cost you to come here tonight. Now, I don't believe God made you come. But I do believe God gave you the will to come. For he worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. So I really believe whenever God instructs his little ones to go to the church, it's my job and it's your job to help them see where it's at and how to present it. Now, like I said, I'm going to try to hurry along. So now, we got the honey. And then he says, I want a lot of salt. Put a lot of salt on it. What does the Bible say about you and I? It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? What good are you if you lost your savor? I'm going to tell you a story that I told at Liberty Church one time. Now, y'all have a lot of foods down here that I never had growing up. I never heard of fried pickles till I come to Alabama. I kind of like them, but I never heard of them. I'd ask people if they ever ate pickled corn, and they said, pickled corn? They never heard of it. Well, it's kind of like you pickle anything else, and I loved it. So I asked my mother, me and my wife's home had a basement in it in West Virginia and had a corner back there that was almost like a cellar. It stayed cool all the time. And when you made pickled corn, you need to put it somewhere it was cool. So I asked my mother to make me some pickled corn. I had the jar. It took one of them old stone jars like they used to churn with. I had the jar. I gave her some money and I said, you go buy whatever you need to buy to make that pickled corn because I want some pickled corn. Well, she got the corn and the salt and all this stuff and she came down there and she made it. She put a rag over the top of it like you do in a rock so it can start to brim. And she said, Roger, you check that in about a week or two. You may have to add a little more salt to it. I said, okay, Mom, you know how you tell your mom. When Mom left, I looked at my wife, Roxanne, and I said, I ain't putting no salt in that. I don't want salty corn. Now, I wasn't very bright. When I got ready to go down and eat that corn, you couldn't even stand the smell of it. It had rotted. Now, what's the lesson in that? I didn't add no salt. So it rotted. What's this world doing today? It's rotting. Because we as Christians are not adding any salt. We have no salt anymore. It's not the Democrats' problem that's hurting this country. It's not the Republicans that's hurting this country. It's not Hollywood that's hurting this country, although they're doing some terrible things. It's not pornographic stuff. It's not alcoholism. It's God's own people who have turned their back on the Lord and have no salt. That's what's hurting this country. And we need to get back to the point that we have salt in us anymore. So how do you have salt? Salt does a lot of things. Salt will burn like fire, let me tell you. You get it in a curt, it'll burn. But it'll also cleanse. It'll purify. And it'll preserve. And if you've got salt in you and presenting Jesus with lots of salt, it's a preserving action. And you can find out that people will respond to that. To give you an example, I was at Lowe's the other day and some elderly gentleman, I have no idea who he was, but I had put some pipe in my truck and tied it up. I seen he had a big piece of wood hanging way out past his truck. I went up and got me a red flag because Adamsville, West Virginia is real good about writing you a ticket if you run through there at the pole sticking too far out the back of your truck without a red tag on it. So when I got a red tag for me, I got one for him. I brought it down to give it to him, and he appreciated it. And I looked at what he had tied in there. I said, how far are you going to go with that? And he said, a few miles. And I said, well, I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but it ain't going to last. I could pick his string up like that. I said, it'll blow right out. Well, he said, do you know how to tie it? I said, well, I can help you. Mom and Dad moved 27 times before I left home. I don't know if that's trying to get rid of me or what, but they moved a lot. So I learned how to tie things in a truck and pack things. So when I tied that down for him and we got to talking, and he told me, he said, you know, people just don't help people no more. And I told him, that's what's wrong with the world today. And we got to talking about Jesus. And I invited him to church. Now, I don't know if he'll come or not, but I try to invite everybody I see that will listen to me about it. If they don't want to listen to me about it, the Bible says don't cast your pearls among the swine. Just forget it. Go on about yourself. But if they'll talk about it, talk with them. I don't know if he'll come or not, but the last thing he said to me was, where'd you say that church was again? Maybe he'll come. Maybe he won't. But I felt happy going home. I'm going to tell you something. There's no joy like serving the Lord and know that you served him in the way that he told us to serve him. not the way you want to. I told a person one time, there's a whole lot of things in this Bible I don't like. But I'll listen to them, because I'll pay the penalty if I don't. Come ahead, Brother Lawrence. May God bless you is my prayer.